Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Good morning, family. It's really a privilege to be here this morning. Like Jaco said, we've had the privilege of serving in this house for 14 years, and I can really just bless the leadership for what they've also sown into our lives. So this morning, we have the privilege just to look at the word concerning our identity, you know, who we are in Christ. It's a very basic word, but therefore also very important. Just recently, I've been challenged a lot concerning my identity and to who I listen concerning who I am. There's a lot of stuff happening in church. We're busy. We're running around. So we need to make sure that our foundations are strong. Otherwise, you might build in a direction that doesn't have the necessary foundation. So just the next photo, there's a tree at our house. And what basically happened there is it happens a lot in nature. The tree just grew too fast, the roots wasn't strong enough, and it toppled over. Unfortunately, we see that a lot, and the tree is still alive. So we see that a lot with Christians where we just run too fast, and we don't stop and listen and build the foundation. Because the higher you go, the deeper you must go as well. Yes? So God is taking this church higher, and therefore this morning, we're just going to go a bit deeper. Because it's one thing to have missions, have all the activities, but we need to ensure that our foundations are strong enough. Otherwise, yes, you'll still be alive and you'll be healthy, but you might topple over in certain areas of your life. So this morning, we're just going to stand still a little bit and make sure that our foundations concerning who we are is solid. Before I continue, I just want to say when David and I ourselves prayed now, God showed us a wonderful thing, and it is just the privilege of being here this morning. Have you ever had the revelation or the thought, where would I have been without Christ? So while we were praying, I was struck with that. Where would I physically have been, emotionally, spiritually, this morning, if it was not for Christ? So I just want to start off with that thankful heart. I want you all just to reflect on that and say, God, thank you that I'm here. We so easily just come to church, but yes, we're saved into heaven, but we're also saved from ourselves. We're saved from our sinful nature. We're saved from a lot of things. So this morning, we just want to thank God that we are here. Amen? We thank God that we are here collectively. And, you know, statistically, the chance of us all being together here this morning, being saved, being together, is impossible. But yet, here we are. Yet, here we have Christ in us. And that's just a wonderful privilege. So, for many years, this is the next slide, I enjoyed this a lot. At the back of the Time magazine, there was also always the Tag Heuer advert. And for some other reason, it said, what are you made of? Okay, so it's just illustrative that the world continuously challenges us in our identity. I mean, what does a watch and your identity have to do with each other? Yet, they pay those people a lot of money to ask you, what are you made of? And somehow, if you wear the watch, you'll be made of something better. And that is the rubbish the world feeds us daily. When you drive back home, have a look at the billboards. I think guess genes as well, or something, I can't remember what the slogan is, but it's also identity related. So somehow the world challenges us all the time. What are we made of? Are you going to make it? Are you strong enough? Are you going to be successful? And these things mull around in our minds and in our hearts. And that's why this morning we just stop. We say, God, what do you say about us? Okay? Not what does my friend say about me, my colleagues, my own mind. No, what do you say about me. You know, and many times when you're at a braai or a party, someone will ask you, so tell me a little bit about yourself. And many times people will say, yeah, this is my name and I'm a teacher. I'm a consultant, I'm an engineer. But that's not who you are. But somehow we immediately go towards what we do when we are confronted with our identity. We find our identity a lot in what we do and what we have. And that is the wrong way around. And I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. Because that's not the Christian way. So this morning, just to start off this discussion, I'm not going to be long, so I want you to focus. It's really going to be short, then we're going to have time for ministry, if you listen. So for the men, I'll be able to see if you watch rugby until 12 o'clock last night. But we're going to have time for ministry at the end, so I'm just going to lay a foundation in the Word, and we can worship and spend time in prayer. But just to illustrate this from the outset, and some of you might have heard this explanation previously, but if while I was preaching now, a helicopter landed outside right here in the quad, and someone came in, and a messenger came in with a little letter, and they walked up to Johannia. You know Johann Stadler, a good friend of mine, great guy. Drink a coffee with him afterwards. The messenger came in, and it gave a letter to Johann while we were preaching here. And he opened it, and the messenger said, listen, he needs to read it. He says, listen, Johann needs to come with us now. We just found out he's the son of Richard Branson, and he needs to leave now, because we just realized it now. And here he goes, and we were like, what? Our view of him would change, right? And he didn't know this, so his view about him would have changed, right? Yes, he would have been as amazed as we were. So this morning, if I tell you that you are a son of God, not son or daughter of Richard Branson, a son of the living God, a child of the living God, that will change the way you live, right? It will change the way you see yourself. So I know this is basic and you've heard it before, but I want you to really just understand what it means to be a child of the living God, of the whole universe. It's way more important than being a child of Nelson Mandela or Richard Branson, or whoever you can think of. So this morning, if you are saved and you're in his family, that's the good news to you. It's Sunday, we're reading from the gospel. Gospel means good news. So this morning's good news is you are a child of God. Very basic, yes, but very powerful. You are a son of God, a child of God. So in the world, it says have, do, are, meaning what you have determines what you do, and what you do determines who you are. But according to the Word, whose we are determines who we are. That determines what we do, and that then determines what we have. So, unfortunately, many times we fall in this trap as Christians where we think what we own will determine who we are. And what we do, with who we hang out, or what we do over weekends influences who we are. But that's not the truth. To whom we belong determines who we are. And that's unfortunately what social media is full of at present. It's governed by this identity confusion, and it promotes it, whereby, and I'm not opposed to social media, but unfortunately it's a very strong channel for self-promotion, where you fall in the trap that what you do and how you look determines what other people think of you. And that is exactly have, do, are. What you have, what you do, and how those photos look, and what type of posts you make. Sometimes it's intellectual posts, but then you're trying to reflect a certain image of yourself, and that then influences who you are. So the Word says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And that is, it's 1 Peter 5. Unfortunately, our society now doesn't believe in that. It does a lot of self-promotion as opposed to God promotion. So humble yourself so that God will lift you up. I think 2 weeks ago we had Bible school, time management, and one of the principles there McDonald's laws says that unplanned time flows towards activities that give you public acclamation, that gives you public attention. And that is unfortunately the truth, that we like to do stuff that makes us look a certain, in a certain, place us in a certain manner. So whose you are determines who you are, and who you are determines what you do. And I always say that in the kingdom there's a lot of ships, you know, you get stewardship and friendship, and but one of the most important ships is sonship. And for the ladies, don't worry about the word son, because the church is referred to as the daughter of Christ. So all the sons make up the daughter. So you guys are very important scripturally as well. So I think before we continue, let's just pray and we'll read from the word. Lord, so we thank you this morning that we can be here. As we said now, it's a privilege just to be here this morning, to be saved, to be in this house. Lord, we don't know where we would have been this morning without you. So we just thank you for the privilege of sitting under your word and seeing ourselves the way you see us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at three aspects of identity. The first one is legitimacy. Okay, so that's Galatians 3, verse 1 to 7. This only I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Okay, so then the next slide, it continues with verse 26. And this is the focus of this morning. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seed, and heirs according to the promise. So this morning we move from legalism to freedom. And God has no stepchildren. He has no half-children. If you are in, you are in. You are a legitimate child, independent of your issues or history. Now, all of you might have felt that you are not legitimate, and that you need to perform to impress God. But God doesn't have half-children. He doesn't need your works. If you're a child, you're a child. Okay, so it's the old illustration of a child being born into a family. You don't prove yourself. You don't work yourself into it. And even this morning, I was reminded with Liba. She doesn't get her identity from her biological parents, even though genetically there is influence, but her identity is received from us. So the same way there's two aspects. You're born into a family, but you're also adopted. So when we're adopted, we get our identities from Christ. So is there anyone with issues here this morning? You're great. Tinas, I've got a gift for you afterwards. So, we all have issues. God is not offended with our issues. Is there anyone here that's been saved for longer than 20 years? Yes? Longer than 10 years? Great, that's a majority. And 6 months? Great, wonderful. So, the reality is we are all equal. The 2 6-month hands are equal with the 20 years. Equal. And that's the beauty of being in the kingdom of God. It's not a sect or caste system. It's not a performance-driven system. Personally, that's part of my testimony. I would have worked myself to death if I was in a religion like that, where you had to perform to reach a certain level. And a lot of you may agree. Some of you would say, no, I wouldn't feel anything for a level. But we're not part of a performance-driven faith. If you're in, you're in. There's no half measures, no half children. So next slide. Just a photo of John William when he was younger. But John 8 verse 36 says, If the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. And it's wonderful to see children understand freedom. You know, and unfortunately, as Christians, as we get older in our faith, sometimes we lose that freedom with disappointment and with hardships. So this morning, we're also going to pray for people that feel like that, that feel tired in the faith, that feel like you're not the son or the boy on a bicycle with your hands in the air. It happens. But God renews us through His Spirit. So if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Okay, so I've said that the gospel is the good news. I've illustrated Johann receiving his little letter. But this morning, once again, the gospel is good news. So let's just thank God for good news concerning us. Because the world will not give you good news, yes? So, it's the knowledge of whose you are that changes the way you live. It's not because of who you are, but whose you are. So, the question is, whose are you? To who do we look concerning identity? You cannot look to anyone else. This week I reminded a friend that when you compare yourself to anyone else, and you guys can test this, you will experience one of two things in your heart. Inferiority or superiority. And it's a very basic principle, but trust me, when you compare yourself in your heart, one of two things will happen. However, when you compare yourself to Jesus, that doesn't happen. I don't feel inferior when I look to Jesus. I feel inspired or motivated. Convicted, yes, but not inferior. So look towards someone else in terms of material things, you'll feel inferior or superior. Look towards someone else with regards to their marriage or the way they bring up their children, you'll feel inferior or superior. Okay, then the next aspect is adoption. Okay, concerning our identity. Galatians 4, verse 6 to 7. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons in Christ. And I've said this, but any sibling born into a family is 100% legitimate. It doesn't matter how you feel about it, how your siblings feel about it, you're 100% legitimate. Yes, there's no voting allowed, and so in the natural... So in the spiritual, and my wife had the privilege of working in the adoption world for many years, and it was a blessing to me to see how people accept a child that they don't even know, because parenting is not a process of you get to love your child, or you don't love him, and then you slowly start loving your child. It's like a light switch that goes on. So as you receive that baby, your heart is filled with love. And when our eldest was born, I still remember the first time I saw her, I almost felt like dizzy with the impact of that. I still remember I felt dizzy, and in that moment, God said, "If you feel like this, imagine how I must feel over you," because we don't love perfectly. So and those of you not parents yet, you can look forward to it because it really shows you a lot about God's heart. It's one of the purest things you'll ever experience towards your child, but that God's love towards us is way greater. And the same as we don't see sin when we look at little children sitting in church here or running around. God doesn't see our sin, or He's not offended by it, but I'm going to get back to that. So let's continue with Galatians 4. And because you are the sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So there's no distinctions in the faith. We all have a right to be in the family because we were born into this family. It doesn't matter how late you came in. And like I said, rest assured, God is not intimidated by your sin. Just the next slide. In terms of that scripture, God has sent forth His Spirit, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. The problem is sometimes we come with this slave mentality into the kingdom. So you become a son, but you bring that slave thinking with you. And that's the difference between being driven or drawn. Either you are driven to try and perform, or you are drawn towards relationship. So it's performance versus relationship. So this morning, if you struggle with trying to impress God, or even impress other Christians with that striving, then let's pray together. Okay, because that is something God wants to deliver us all from. Dad's desires for his children. There's no striving and no working required. And this is my testimony, that I got saved at a young age, and then for 5 years I tried to impress God. I just tried to live the best life. I really tried hard. And then in matric, I was tired. And I said, this is not for me. I'm tired. I cannot impress God. And luckily, a friend of mine got saved and spirit-filled over a weekend. He came back on the Monday, and he looked different. So, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. First break, you got 2 guys saved. Second break, 10 guys. The afternoon, he had half a hall full of children, and people got saved radically that week. So I went to him and I said, Marius, but you've only been saved for 2 days. I've been saved for 5 years. What's going on here? Oh, and the other thing is he stuttered. And then when he talked about God, he didn't stutter at all, which was amazing. And all the children knew it. And then he told me about the Holy Spirit. And that was the thing I lacked at that point. I was saved, but didn't have the power of God in my life. So, also, if you want to be baptized this morning, if you don't know the Holy Spirit yet, that is something I can tell you will change your life. Because otherwise, yes, you are good, you will do good, you will go to heaven, you will lead people to Christ, but it's out of your own power. Titus 1 says, such as have a form of godliness, but are without the power. And that was my story. So, and with that, the performance spirit was broken. When I met the Holy Spirit, that trying to strive, the strife was broken. So let's not be slaves in the world and slaves in the kingdom. If you're a child, you live different in your house than a slave would in the olden days. And then lastly, children receive an inheritance, the third aspect concerning our identity. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So think about this, that we as mortal human beings can be called heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we as flesh and bone, we have the amazing privilege. Just the next slide. I like the passion of the Christ. Sorry about the light. But think about it. Look at those pictures. The word says we are joint heirs with the person that died for our sins, that tore the veil in two, so that we can have access to the presence of God, and with the same man that rose from the dead. So God, in His grace, says that we are joint heirs with that man. Once again, very basic truth, but if you fully understand it, that God calls us joint heirs with that man. And today we celebrate the empty cross and we celebrate the empty tomb. And that must do more for your identity than being part of a rich family or a well-known family. That knowing must do more to your heart than how much you have in your bank account, how your parents feel about you, etc. Okay, next one, inheritance. The wonders of our inheritance is the forgiveness of sin, yes? But then there's also that God forgets our sin. He deliberately forgives and forgets. So we know that God is omniscient. He knows everything. But then if you look at Hebrews 10, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So in Himself, He has the ability to cut off the decision. Or He has the ability to forget. And that's a decision He makes. So your self-awareness of your sin and your inability is something that stands between you and God in this issue of identity. So that's why I'm highlighting this morning, that your sins are forgiven, but He also forgets about it. And if you struggle to believe that, God wants to free you from that, because that's what's keeping you back. Satan wants to continuously throw our sins and our inability in front of us. In Christ, our new identity. Okay, and then inheritance. The Holy Spirit is part of our inheritance. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. So, like I've told you my story concerning the Holy Spirit, that's part of our inheritance. It's a gift that He wants to give you. So if you haven't received that gift and you want to this morning, then you're welcome to come and receive that gift. Just to quickly, something that I had to understand was that when you get saved, you are like a sponge in someone's hand, and this hand is in a bucket of water. So you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is around you. You are in the water. But being baptized with the Holy Spirit is when that hand leaves the sponge and the water goes into the sponge. That's the difference. And to me, that was something I had to understand, was that because I always felt, no, but I have the Holy Spirit. I experience the Holy Spirit. But being baptized into the Holy Spirit just means that you open yourself for His inflowing. But now, if you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no condemnation, there's no performance needed. I'm just illustrating the difference it meant to me. So, you might ask, why is it important to understand your identity? And the best illustration is Matthew 3 and Matthew 4. So, this is Jesus. He gets baptized in the end of Matthew 3. Okay? And you will, those of you that know the scripture, we'll know that as He was baptized and as He came out of the water, a dove descended and God the Father spoke audibly. He only spoke audibly three times in the Word, and that was one of them, so meaning it's very important. And He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." People said, "Oh, it's thunder," etc., and everyone was amazed. That was Matthew 3. I don't know the verse, but it's at the end. I double-checked this morning. The next sentence, Matthew 4, He is led into the wilderness to be tempted. So as soon as your identity is confirmed, Satan reacts. He hates it. Okay? Because you know, if you know who you are, you will be highly effective and you will have an impact. So, and then in Matthew 4, Satan attacked Jesus' sonship. He said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And then number 3, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship Me." So, Satan knows that our identity is important, and that's why you shouldn't be amazed if your identity gets attacked. If you feel, if you query your own identity or funny thoughts come into your head, the majority of that is just Satan trying to confuse you concerning your identity. Because if you are firm and flowing from your that point of your identity being confirmed, you will have an impact on him. And the second reason this is important for those ones of you, once again, those of you who've watched The Passion of the Christ, will remember this section where they couldn't get anything against Jesus, and then so they were fight. They couldn't, you know, accuse him. They couldn't get anything against him. However, then this happened. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And then in the movie, when Jesus said this, they freaked out. They tore their clothes off them. This was the thing that they did not want to hear. And he said, "Yes, it is as you said," meaning, "I am the Son of God." And so the world reacts, and so Satan and all his demons react when we acknowledge our sonship. It creates havoc. That is the one thing the darkness does not accept. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, and they said, "He is deserving of death." So that was the thing they killed him for, because he said he's the Son of God. Which is actually quite absurd if you think of it now, but that's the thing that offended them. So just the two reasons. If this was important to Jesus, that as he got baptized, Satan challenged his identity, and the Sanhedrin crucified him because of this, I can tell you it's important to us as well. Then just two side notes. In the Jewish culture, we know that it's the father that imparts identity. On the eighth day, the boys get circumcised, and then they get the name from their father. So many times you'll see names like Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter Bar-Jonah, son of. So that just means son of. And in genetics, we also know that it's the father that gives the X or the Y chromosome that determines the gender. So that's just two illustrations of practicalities where we receive our identity from our fathers, so as in the natural, so in the spiritual. Okay, I've mentioned this to you, and I just want to close with this, that don't be confused if you get attacked in terms of your identity, especially if this is very new for you this morning. Even if it's not brand new, just the renewal of your sense of your identity will attract, will just put you on the spiritual radar, okay? So many times people say, "Oh, I'm under spiritual attack." Then I always say, "But that's good. You're doing something right. You're on the spiritual radar." If you're not on the spiritual attack, it just means you're floating along. But Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So all you need to do is just remind him. When he reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. Okay, because God has prepared a special place for him. Revelation 20. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked, so that Satan could not deceive the nations anymore. Don't be afraid when your identity gets attacked or gets challenged. That's a good thing. You're just on the spiritual radar. Yeah, so I want us to just do a declaration of ourselves this morning. So if we can stand, we're just going to read. Yeah, so when the challenge comes and the difficulty comes and you are questioned with who are you? Who are you? Are you going to make it? Are you strong enough? Then just declare, "I'm a son of the God Almighty. I'm a daughter of the God Almighty." And I promise you, you'll find spiritual strength to conquer that challenge. Romans 8 verse 19 reads, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The New Living Testament reads, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are." So this morning I want to pray with anyone that is challenged in your identity, anyone that feels they want to give their life to Christ, anyone that wants to be Spirit-filled, or anyone that's just tired and feel that they need God to remind them of who they are. Please, come, let's pray together. So I want to do a few declarations as to who we are. So let's just read it together. So we're just going to say, we are able to do all things. We are Abraham's offspring. We are accepted. We have access to His presence. We have been adopted. We are alive. We are set free. We are anointed. We are the apple of His eye. We are justified. We are royalty. We are His workmanship. We are warriors. And we are His worshippers. Lord, we thank You that this is what You say over us this morning, God, that we do not need to listen to the world, we do not need to listen to Satan. We believe what You say over us. God, this morning, we open our hearts and we say thank You, God, that we can belong to You. We are part of this family. And Lord, we just bless You for the love You have towards us. So just open your heart now and just stand like that. And Lord, we ask that You now just speak to everyone in this room. I feel God will speak to everyone. If you open your heart, He will speak to you. You will feel something. You'll hear something. You'll sense something. And He wants to speak to you. God, so we open our hearts to You now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank You for that vision that was shared after worship of a heart that is just being made alive, that Your Holy Spirit just comes and breathes life into our hearts. Lord, we know that many of us are tired or just confused with life and stretched in so many ways that this morning You say, "You can rest in Me. You are My child." I see a table, a long table, and God says, "Come and sit and eat with Me." Like a good father, He pulls out a chair and you can just sit with Him and eat with Him and talk. And just you can sense that love and that acceptance in that room. God, thank You that we can find this with You. This is where we look towards our rest and our identity being confirmed. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.